I think this is literally friends live.
This is Sprints and Milestones.
This is Sprints and Milestones.
Sprints and Milestones is produced by Audience Ops, a content creation business that helps agencies and marketers publish meaningful content. Welcome to Sprints and Milestones, where this season, we're taking a good hard look at everyone's favorite topic, failure.
We're interested to see if in walking alongside the real life struggles of our brave and amazing guests, we can come out the other side with some insight that just might make this journey we're all navigating a little better.
That's the plan anyway. Today's episode deals with what some might consider the source of every project failure, people.
And what to do when things don't go smoothly with the team or coworkers.
What do you do when they release the Kraken? Crystal, thank you so much for joining us on Sprints and Milestones today. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Our first guest is the ever cheery, dazzling, and insightful Crystal Richards.
I'm Crystal Richards. I'm the principal and owner of a project management training and professional development consulting firm called MindSpark. So that's MindSpark with a Q. And
before we jump into Crystal's experience, it's important to know a few things about her.
Crystal is a fellow project manager turned well-respected trainer, author, speaker, and even a community builder. She's so welcoming and easy to talk to and really forward about her experiences.
And I do say that in my training. Started from the bottom, now we're here. We talk about bottom-up estimating when I say that.
That brings us to the other important thing to know about Crystal. She's really engaging and a fun person to be around, which is why the events she relates to us today kind of come as a shock.
Well, I think as we all know, that a lot of times for those of us that got into project management, it was by accident. You were in this kind of role and then you realized I was doing project management work. So
keeping a positive outlook is what shapes a lot of Crystal's work. She's had an established role as a project manager who has a really strong sense for how to read and relate to people, how to stay on top of details and really be an all-around great communicator. And still, she knows there's limits to what she can control.
Engagement is that sometimes you're just that person that gets the wrath of people. And it's about all that you can control is how you react to it. Are you going to stew in it? Or are you going to find a way to solve that situation and resolve it and get things back on track? So it was my first kind of full-time consulting gig. And we were doing work for the Greater New York Health Association. And we were doing, lo and behold, training. And one of the project aspects was to have a projector. Some simpler. You think like some of the simplest things, those are the ones that blow up in your face. And part of the contract was that they were going to provide a projector for us because we were going to their different hospitals. And there was just some type of miscommunication with our sales team. Of course, when it comes to us as the delivery team, we're doing the checklist of the things that we need. And she just ringed me out. She's like, we paid all this money to bring you guys here. And the least you can do is get a projector for us. And I can't, and my boss is looking at me and she hears this woman yelling at me. And she's like, I'll take the phone. I said, no, I got this. And I remember it so distinctly. And she just ringed me out. I let her just unload. And then I said, let me change her name to protect the guilty. I said, Lucy, you're right. You all have paid really good money for our services and we're going to find a projector. And mind you, this is in the early 2000s. So what we did is we took a cab. Uber wasn't even invented yet. Okay. We took a taxi cab to Broadway, like downtown New York. We went to some seedy place that I don't even know what kind of place this was.
Yeah, because back then you couldn't go to like a Best Buy and get projectors. Those were
exactly.
That's a very specialized piece of
equipment. And it was like, it literally, I remember it was going underground somewhere. Yeah. I don't think we had a stamp anything on our hands, but I just remember it being weird. And we rented it. That was the other thing. And it was expensive to rent, right? Right. And, you know, don't blow the light bulb and all this other stuff. Yeah. And, so I got ahead of myself. So when I said to her, you know what, Lucy, you're right. You spent a lot of money and we're going to make this happen. And then all of a sudden, just because of the fact that I let her unleash the Kraken on me and I was calm, I didn't get defensive. She's like, you know, I'll make it happen. I'll get a projector for you all. And it was a complete, in the same conversation, it was a complete turnaround. And she's like, you know what? I'm just really stressed. I'm going to make sure we get a projector for you. And she said, if you can just make sure that you can get something for today's training session. I said, now, absolutely. But go ahead, Greg.
Well, Doug, I want to ask you, like, what in that moment, right, where you're just making a seemingly harmless request, right? One that had already been kind of agreed to. And all of a sudden you're just getting rage, probably the exact opposite of what you ever would have thought was going to be the response. What is it inside you that said, this is fine? You know, like the meme with the dog, you know, drinking coffee with flames all over, right? And you're listening to this person just yell at you, and then something inside you said, just like, let it go, let it rip.
She said, I got this.
Was this a moment for me?
Part of it was my manager was so supportive. Like, I will work for her. If she ever called me up and she listens to this, she'll probably like, really? But I would totally. She was such a great manager. And at that moment, I think she was kind of putting on her mom hat. And I was like, no, I don't want you to be my mom. I want you to let me figure this out and learn it. But it came completely out of nowhere for that client to, you know, just yell at me. But I do remember something lightly happening like that before from another manager. And I remember like freaking out. And my dad was like, he's the manager. He can go off if he wants. You have to make the decision if you want to work with him. And I was like, okay, you know, because I was like, this is so mean. But I think for her, I mean, I did double check with our sales team and I said, is this in the contract? And they're like, yes, it is. And it's like, well, obviously something's amiss, but because I wasn't using that whole contract over, right, negotiations, all the agile manifest, I wanted to make it right for her. It just caught her off guard. And I was just unfortunately the target of her wrath.
So what was the big lesson in that story for you? I guess my first question is, what's the failure in your opinion in that story? Like, what was the point of, like, this is a bad situation? Like, that doesn't seem like it sits on your shoulders.
Yeah, I think though, from a delivery, it's the adage, right? Measure twice, cut once. And I think, you know, you assume that the sales team, and I think after the battle of the delivery team versus the sales team, exactly. They always overpromise.
Oh my gosh.
And then when we have to deliver, we're like,
dun, dun, dun.
Who said we could do that? Yeah. So I think it's just checking the list and confirming with them. And you walk in with a set of assumptions and we know what it means to assume. And we had never had the previous conversation with her about, hey, here are the things that we just want to make sure you're clear on, that you're going to, what you're responsible for and what we're responsible for. And it was, you know, the day before when we flew in, and, you know, just want to make sure that you're cool. And it was like, I think
you're like ready to go, happy.
Exactly.
Like, and everything's going to be great.
Exactly.
Did you deal with that person again during the course of that project?
Oh yeah. I mean, that was like a 6-month project and I was her bud. I mean, always amazes me, you know, when you are, it's the kill them with kindness. Right. And I didn't see anything that was going to be productive if I was just as nasty as she was to me at the time. I'm very much of a, and then what? And then what? So if I had gone off the deep end with her or started crying, and then what? And then what? So it that is something I do kind of it's kind of, I guess, my superpower. It's like, wait a second, this is how things could go wrong. So I'm definitely the person that walks around with a dark cloud, but I think it's to my benefit, not to be the Debbie Downer. But it is something that I pride myself on as I think about, well, if I go down this track.
What an interesting lesson in managing expectations, using your scope, and also keeping your composure in what feels like a really high pressure situation. Let's just say that as a seasoned professional and project manager, Crystal knows high pressure, and she knows how to handle people or the kraken that they unleash. She actually came to us with a second story that's filled with similar lessons. Let's check that out.
We pick up with Crystal on a normal day where she's being her cheery, bright self, just playing her part as a confident and capable member of the team.
So this is when I worked for a big federal agency, and I won't name their names, but they serve veterans. I came in as a kind of a mid-level, and I had maybe after a couple years had proven myself and become more of a senior person. But there was always our side, client side of things, an executive, that when we would have biweekly meetings with him, he would want that person in there. Where's Ryan? And we were at a point that it was time for me to deliver bad news. And we never set that expectation. How do you want bad news delivered to you? I just thought it was time. Like, there was a situation that came up. And I kid you not, I said, hey, E. I'm changing his name. I said, hey, E, we have a situation I need to tell you. And he's like, I don't want to hear about it. I said, no, I really need to tell you. He's like, I don't want to hear about it. Get out of my office. And his deputy was in the room. I kid you not. He's like, get out of my office. And I was looking at him, not quite glaring, but maybe glaring. And, you know, again, it was, as I started closing his door, I said to myself, do not slam his door, Crystal.
Well, wait, I want to back up here a minute. So at what point do you accept the way it is? And when do you change it? You know, do you accept office politics and accepting your role? Or, you know, do you actively try to, you know, find ways to make a different role for yourself, to change that dynamic in the team, maybe even in the room?
But let's also talk about and respect the fact of the culture of the environment that she was in. It was a government agency focused on military, very much about hierarchy, very much about accepting your role, very much about having respect for senior people. So maybe in that scenario, and we didn't dig into this with her, maybe that was part of the culture there.
Yeah, he did it to me. Now, some people who were right there nearby kind of heard the exchange, and his deputy was in there. And I have to tell you, like an hour later, she came up to me and she said, I thought you were going to kill him, but you were so professional. And in my head, oh, I'm a professional, damn it. But it's like, what did you want me to do? Like, of course I have to be professional, even though he wasn't. But I was like, thank you for saying that. Like, where is the nearest bar?
Thanks for saying that. Doesn't help anything. So what happened though? Like, did he finally get the news? Or
I had to tell Ryan. Like, it was palpable from Ryan. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. Hey, Ryan, you're going to need to talk to E about this. Here's the situation. He's like, all right, I'll handle it.
How do you determine what role you play on the team? And what do you do when you try to fill a missing role and your actions get shot down?
So I think in my experience, you know, I don't know about you, Brett, but you know, there's a role, there's like the tactical work that you do, right? It's part of the team. But then there's also what kind of personalities are there? What kind of personalities are needed? What kind of, in this case, like you know, that also kind of tips into kind of what role you play. Just because you're a project manager doesn't mean you're the best communicator. Just because you're a designer doesn't mean you're the best facilitator, right? And so I think a lot of that has to do with observing what's going on. If you can observe what's happening within team, and to try and have a, like, either find a natural fit. And I guess just like a velociraptor, probe the fence, right? And to see if it's going to work or if it's not. And, you know, her getting shot down, like so toxic, so, you know, how dejected you feel when that happens. But at least you've kind of, you know, you've probed to see what's going to work and what's not. And that just gives you more data to know, you know, where to go from there, which is, I think, what she did here in that situation.
So what I realized, you know, it wasn't abusive, you know, where I felt like I didn't have psychological safety. And I don't want to discredit the importance of that. But it was just something that I learned at that point. You know what? I only have to deal with him from 9 to 5, and half the time he's, you know, he works compressed work schedules. So there are days of the week I don't have to see him.
Yeah.
So you just find those ways to deal with it, because it's the same cast of characters, wherever job you go to, right? There's the backstabber, there's the talkative one, there's the gossiper, you know, it's just how you deal with it. And you have to put in your mind, well, who am I of the cast of characters? Where do I fall in? And, you know, find your place and do a good job and, you know, be ethical and be kind to people. It's not hard, I don't think, to be kind to people, even when sometimes they're like,
The theme of what you're talking about is really just like being your true self. Like in any situation that you're in, remembering that there is that and then, right? Like you said, there's an and then. And in any version of that and then, you want to show up as the person that you're proud of being. And I think there's lots of situations that we can say we are not proud of the way that we handled them. Push those feelings aside. Think about what's going on the other side of the phone or the Zoom or whatever, and do what you can to diffuse the situation. Mm-hmm. Always diffuse the situation is really kind of like what I'm getting out of this, is like, go into it knowing anything could happen, but know that you can also come out of it peacefully.
I think it's important to have that empathy and diplomacy and all of that, because you never know when you're going to have to work with them again.
That whole thing of like working with people again.
So we ended the conversation with me kind of interpreting Crystal's point into basically always diffusing situations. And I just want to say that while I think she did what was needed in the moment to really diffuse that situation, I don't think what I landed on in that conversation was necessarily right. So Greg, do you think always diffusing the situation is the right posture to take?
No.
I agree.
Like, because there's some situations you just can't diffuse, and trying to diffuse the situation just makes it worse. Right.
Or what about, not every situation needs to be diffused. And when you go into a positive situation thinking something negative is going to happen, you're not showing up as your best self. You're going to always be worried that something's going sideways, or, you know, maybe be on edge and have a negative reaction to something that doesn't really require that.
Well, and conversely, there are situations where, you need to let the bomb go off. Like you need, like the uncomfortableness needs to just stay in the room, because sometimes things just need to break.
Right.
You need to get to that breaking point of like, I don't know what's happening, but this is not working. This is not functional.
In this second story, she let the bomb go off. She sat back. Mm-hmm. She was comfortable, confident. She was her true self. She let it happen. And then she resolved the situation. So it's not that there was a situation to diffuse, as much as she let it go down. She was a problem solver. And then she made that thing happen. And she made that person happy.
The respect for you, Crystal, in both of those work environments went up, right? Whether that was said or you know, not, you earned respect, not just from the folks directly, but the people around you and seeing how you responded to that, right?
Yeah, I think a nice way to close this out is that I always love that Maya Angelou quote. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Such a great way to end that. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, it was my pleasure. This was fun.
It's been a good conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for
nice to meet you. I had fun. same here, Greg. Let's definitely stay in touch.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Take care.
Y'all have a good one.
All right. Thanks. All right. You too. Have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in on this exploration of real experiences of failure and the insight it brings. We're interested to see where this journey takes us this season.
Sprints and Milestones is produced by Audience Ops, a content creation business that helps agencies and marketers publish meaningful content.